I can't wait to hear you talk.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dirty 30 Diary. This is Dirty D. I'm here to basically get back into it. The first episode, as you know, was just going over my, you know, a brief, look into, you know, what's to be expected, what it's going to be about. This week, on episode 2, I wanted to focus more on, you know, how I came to this point. So to understand what I mean when I say that, basically, initially, I was going to do a book, as I mentioned on the last episode, and it was just going to be, you know, talking about, you know, my journey into. So the idea came right before I was about to turn 30, and I was really, like, excited about all the things that, you know, you're supposed to be excited about. That's when you start, you know, life starts getting serious. So, supposedly. So, you know, getting my credit together, you know, getting healthy, just all these different things that, you know, the standard is, like, what we expect to, like, you know, get serious about in our 30s. So, as life would have it, it ended up being more of a, you know, a deeper journey. It wasn't so much about, you know, me getting it together, like my exterior, you know, things having to do with me. It was really about doing the work within. So, let's see. So, and probably right before I turned 30, I met someone who, you know, I was just smitten with, I guess. And she was, you know, as in my head, I had, like, deemed her my soulmate. Like, this is someone that I was, you know, destined to meet. And she was just amazing. She still is amazing. We're still really good friends. However, she was also my mirror. So when I say mirror, she was probably, you know, out of all the people that I've dated in the past, she was the one that was the most honest. And when we broke up, it was all my fault. And it forced me, because she was so amazing and so perfect for me, it really forced me to look at myself. So that was kind of the start of this, you know, transitional period, which is really, instead of it being like, you know, my dirty 30s, it was like, bitch, you're really dirty. Like, there's a lot of things about you that you're really forced to look at right now. And she was the reason, you know, she was the main factor that, you know, took place in this transitional transformation period. So, you know, it kind of, it shifted, and it was even more fitting that it was dirty 30s, because, you know, it was dirty, not like I'm about to get down and dirty. It was like, you know, I have a lot of filthy things that are in my spirit that I was forced to look at. And I think that, you know, that then translates later on to where, say, for example, you know, if I'm a better person, I could be a better person, you know, in everything. So I was forced to look at the core of who I was. And yes, I feel like I'm a good person. I'm not saying that I was, like, a horrible person, you know, overall, but I had a lot of things about me, like a lot of habits that I just, you know, I needed to figure the fuck out. So, you know, pretty much, if I go back to a time where, like, if I'm, you know, honest with myself, and I go back to a time, like, you know, I didn't have a care in the world, I have all these different things about me that I think are pretty cool. And I think, you know, I'm amazing. I have good friends who, you know, confirm those things. I have a couple of people who don't like me. I really don't care about that. But, you know, it's no one that really knows me that usually doesn't like me. It's usually the people that know me the least that like me. I'm pretty sure it's a couple of people out there that I've screwed over. But not in, like, the sense of, you know, how you meet people and they're just like, you're just, like, not a good person. And then you hear about them and you're like, and other people also say you're not a good person. But I would like to think that I'm generally liked. Like, I'm cool. I'm cool as fuck. So, Yeah. I just, for the first time, I was kind of forced to look at myself like, you know, you need to get it together because you want to say that you're this good person, but there's some stuff about you that not only, you know, is affecting now your relationships, it's affecting possibly, like, potentially other parts of your life, like just being successful in business. And, you know, I have a an organization for women, and if I'm not, you know, if I have all this inner stuff going on with me, how am I supposed to touch lives and, you know, be able to reach back and help others better their lives? So, yeah. So pretty much, I guess I'll start from the beginning. I met this person, like I said, going into my 30s. And, like, she was amazing. Like, probably the most honest person that I've ever met. Just, like, generally kept it real. So, I decided that I wanted to be with this person. Now, I said I wanted to be with her, and I, you know, I definitely did, but I think the reason behind me wanting to be with her was, you know, a little more, you know, complicated. It wasn't so much that I wanted to be with her. It's kind of like she would say that I have a conquering spirit. Like, I don't know if any of you have, you know, can relate to that, but you know, just like you want something, so you're willing to do whatever to get it. And then sometimes when you get it, you're just like, you didn't really need it or like want it that bad. You just wanted to prove that you can get it. I don't know who could relate to that, but that's pretty much was the story of my life. I like to think it's because I was the only child. You know how they're always saying like only children are spoiled? Like we're spoiled to a degree. We're not spoiled like how you would think we're spoiled. We're more spoiled like, you know, if we want it, we know how to go about and get it because we're able to manipulate our parents into letting us have it because we were like bargainers, like we could really get what we want out of our parents. And then later on when you grow up, you start doing the same thing with people and with your job and, you know, however else you could use those manipulation tools, you use them. Not necessarily for bad things, like not in a bad way, but definitely, you know, in ways that benefit us, I guess. But not like, you know, stuff that would harm other people. At least I didn't do that. Or I like to think that I didn't do that. So anyway, so, you know, we both, you know, I pretty much wanted to be with her. She was only interested in open relationships at the time. So we were in an open relationship. And somehow my retarded ass just decided to cheat on her, in several different ways, but also as we were in an open relationship. So technically, I could have just did what I wanted and, you know, got away with it or, you know, been able to do it and then actually have permission to do it. Or, you know, we kind of went back and forth about what was okay and what wasn't okay because that's how open relationships work. I don't know who's been in an open relationship, but I definitely probably wouldn't do that in my next relationship, but it's definitely something that it sounds great if you like variety, but it's really more complicated than people make it seem. So we're in this open relationship and it's like a tug of war because first I say, no, I want to be exclusive. Then after I say I want to be, you know, open relationship is fine. Then we start going back and forth about, you know, how open it's going to be. And regardless of the fact we all did all that for nothing because I still ended up cheating on her anyway. So anyway, so I honestly had no justification for it. It wasn't like she neglected me. Like, we were practically together every day. We spent time together. Like, she was amazing. Sex was great. Everything's good. Everything's great. So then when it happened, it was, like, so traumatizing because I actually had to be, you know, I couldn't blame anyone. So I had to actually be accountable for my shit. So that's, like, a huge thing when you're, you know, in your 30s. It's, like, all of a sudden, there's no one else to blame. You can't blame your peers. You're too old for that shit. You can't blame, you know, your siblings. Like, that's immature. It's like, it's all you. So the things that start to happen in your life, like, you really start having to look at yourself. And you realize, like, if you're like me, you start digging deeper. At first, I was like, you know, I'm sorry I did this because of this or whatever. But it's really bigger than that. It's, like, deeper than that. So it got to the point where I was just like, okay, like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, why am I like this? Like, what, you know, what is the underlying factor that caused me to hurt this person that I say that I love? And, you know, what, like, what is this a reflection of? So when I start to ask these questions, I start to, you know, instantly think about patterns. Like, I started going to therapy actually this year, fairly recent. Like, but that was something that I definitely was always open to. And I suggest, you know, anyone that feels like you have deep-rooted shit, or maybe you just want to know or get down to, like, your bad habits and the things that you tend to, you know, always kind of end up back in the same place, I would suggest go to therapy. Just talk it the fuck out. My therapist, she doesn't really say shit. She just kind of sits there and she'll ask me certain questions, but now she kind of, you know, I think they just want to evaluate you without, you know, they don't want to be overly opinionated. I don't even think they can be opinionated. But for her in particular, she just kind of listens. And then recently she's really started to start asking me certain questions. But, you know, overall, just it wouldn't hurt to, you know, go to therapy. And so I felt like I need to be accountable. It was my time to really admit why I'm like this, why I do certain things, why I have certain habits. How did this happen? Like, why did I ruin and sabotage, like, the best relationship that I've ever had in my entire adult life? And, you know, it came back. Like, all of this was connected to the type of person that I was. And then if I couldn't necessarily get her back, at least I could be a better person for me. And then that turned into a whole obsession, because I had to be realistic. And a part of, even in my searching as to why, like, I'm the way that I was, it was like, oh my God, like, even in searching, like, to figure out why I was the way I was, I still came back to, like, okay, so now do you want to, hey, sorry. So do you want to be a better person because you want to be a better person? Or are you being a better person so you can then go and get this person back? So then that became a whole obsession within itself. So I'm going on this journey, and I'm like, first I go through a phase of, like, I want to be a better person. And why did I do this? And I need to get down to the bottom of it. Then it turns into, like, okay, is the real reason why I want to be a better person is for someone else, or is it for myself? So then I was like, okay, it has to be for myself. So I started, and like I said, this, if you could be inside my mind for 2 seconds, like, you would go crazy. And all this stuff is going through my head as this whole transition and this whole transformation process is moving along. So, you know, I start really thinking, you know, of course I had friends that are like, oh, you're being really hard on yourself, and, you know, she's just not the one, and this and that. And I'm just like, no, she was, you know, she was everything I ever wanted. Then I start to, like, look at my friends, and I'm like, damn, we're all fucking lost. Like, none of us really know who we are. None of us really know what we're doing. We're kind of going, like, day by day, but we're not doing the work to really figure out why certain things happen to us. So it's not, it goes from being, you know, you just start really looking at shit and you're just like, damn, like, not only am I screwed up, my friends don't have it all together. Like, I don't have all the answers. They don't have all the answers. Like, I really have to go through this thing alone. I really have to go through my own journey, my own path, and really, like, figure my shit out. Not, you know, come up with temporary solutions. Like, really get down, because you're going to keep going through this shit over and over and over. So I was like, I can't do that. I can't go through this shit over again. I can't. I honestly don't feel like, even if I was to move on and get with someone else, I don't want to have, like, I want my next relationship to be my last. I'm pretty sure a lot of you say that. But it's like, until you go through the process of really getting to the root of your shit, admitting that you have some shit wrong with you, and committing to going through the shit until you've like passed these tests, like these life tests, like, you're just going to keep doing the same thing. I know that's my experience. And, you know, sometimes you'll find somebody who's willing to go through this shit with you, but sometimes it's like, oh, like, I need to, maybe if you're married or something and you're kind of stuck going through people's shit, like, mm-mm. Like, you're going to, for me, I'm like, I don't want to have to go through a whole nother relationship and a whole nother breakup. Like, no, I want my next relationship to be my last. I don't want to keep making the same mistakes. So I need to figure the fuck, like, what's wrong with me? Like, I need to figure my shit out. So anywho, so pretty much, you know, I have friends who were, you know, kind of encouraging me to not be so hard on myself and like, you're fine. This just wasn't the person for you. And then I realized that your friends are like enabling you. Like your friends, they don't want to tell you that you're fucked up and they don't want to, you know, talk shit or like agree that you're filthy and dirty and like you have fucking issues because this person was so great. Like they don't want to tell you that. They don't want to hurt your feelings. They don't want to, you know, beat up on you. So they lie. They say that, you know, oh, you're fine. Like, you know, whatever, you'll be better in your next relationship. So it's like, it's even worse. So you really have to, like I really had to. I won't say that, you know, I'm not preaching to anyone. I'm just saying for me, I really had to like, I couldn't even depend on the opinions of my friends at that point. So, yeah, so I ended up really like going through a list of all these things that I felt were negative about me. And it was probably the most honest moment I had in this journey. And I said, okay, like what, you know, what happened in this particular situation? So, I cheated. I was a cheater. I lied. I was a liar. I manipulated the situation. So had I just been honest with myself as to what I want, instead of like just trying to get what I wanted out of the situation right then and there, like I probably would have gotten a better result. Like worst case scenario, we would have never been together, but we would have been amazing fuck buddies. And I wouldn't even have to have been honest with her in a committed relationship with her at all. So manipulative. I also came like controlling, just trying to, you know, dictate the situation, you know, through manipulation. And that was another thing. And, you know, just basically stuff like that. Like that's how honest I had to be with myself. Like I had to say, these are the things that, you know, you have to work on. So then, like I said, I had to go, okay, why am I like this? So then I started thinking like, okay, when I think back to my childhood, like this is where, like when is the first time that I lied? Like these are actual conversations I'm having with myself. Like when's the first time that you ever lied? When is like as far back as you can remember, what's the first lie that you've told? And like what about as an adult or, you know? So, because these are all habits. These are all things that we get from somewhere. They have to start somewhere. We don't just come out of the womb telling lies. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of women would, you know, say that about their boyfriends or whatever. But, you know, just this is, it doesn't come from anywhere. So one of the biggest lies that I think that I've told as like an adult, not an adult. Actually, it started when I was a kid. As I told you, I started having sex. Well, technically, it's when I was 13. But when I was 12, I started, like, I thought I had sex. I really liked this boy. He was, like, 15. I was 12. And I really liked him. And I thought that we would, you know, he was my first everything. My first kiss, my first dance, like the first time I freaked where I grew up in Oxnard, there was like this skating rink. Was it Skating Palace? The Skating Palace. That's how you know you're getting old when you just like, what was it called? But it was Skating Palace and they shouldn't even have this for kids. For some reason, they thought it was a good idea to after a certain time, so like say that it was open until 10, at 9 o'clock they would section off part of the skating rink so that you can take your skates off and dance. So this is like, if you were young and ratchet, like hot and ready, like Little Caesar's Pizza, like this is where you would go. And then if you were, you know, super ratchet, this would be like your punishment, like you couldn't go. So it was like, I think on Friday. So this is like where everyone would meet up. It's really dangerous because I don't even think there was an age cap or like an age minimum. So a lot of statutory situations had to happen at the skating rink. So, you know, I was one of them. So I was 12. This guy was like a fresh, so 12 puts me, what, sixth grade? I was very developed. I already had like double D titties. Like I was, you know, curvy for, you know, 12. I was looking more like, you know, 16 in the body. So, and I was very mature. So I'm 12 years old. I meet this guy, Jamal, the skating rink. He was like was he popular? I don't think he was popular. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna sugarcoat the shit. Like, he was whatever. He was cool. But, you know, he was like new because he wasn't from here. So you know how that is. So 12, he was 15. He was my first everything. He kind of like started me off, like just the older. I was always attracted to older guys, but he just started it off. He had like a full fucking beard and he was like 15. Like the shit was, it was crazy. So, you know, he's my first everything. We end up going to like my mom. I snuck him in my mom's house. Like I said, like I totally wanted it. I was sexualized. I was sexual as fuck for my age. Like I remember like watching movies and like I want to have kisses like this. Like I was really ratchet. So anyway, so I think he was like my very first, but it turns out he wasn't my first. It was actually this other boy. And he ended up actually like popping my cherry, like where it was, you know, I knew for sure that was it. Like the other guy, he didn't do that. Like this guy, he did that. So that was like when I was 13. So I'm 13. And I think the lying started with me trying to, you know, being fast, like how they, you know, how like moms and grandmas would be like, oh, she's a little fast heifer or whatever. That was me. Like, I'm the one who your auntie is talking about. So that ended up being just like kind of where those habits kind of stirred from. And the biggest one I can think of is, so I'm like, I'm knowing, my mom asked me about, I started my period when I was like 11. And my mom got in the habit of like, you know, like asking me about my period and how I was handling it and everything. And 1 month she asked me like, did you start your period? And I'm just like, and I think since then she had like caught someone in my room maybe, or like caught someone leaving, or I don't know. I don't even remember. But she was very like Inspector Gadget once she knew that I had had sex. And trust me, when I started having sex, everybody knew. So actually, okay, so rewind. Sorry, I'm like all over the place. So rewind back to my first. So it gets out that I had sex. Apparently, my first was someone else's and I didn't know. And she was butthurt about it because she found out. So she happened to be a member of my church at the time. So she found out, told her mom. Her mom then tells someone else at the church. And you guys know how churches go. And I had like one of the old churches in my hometown, and it's a Baptist church, and it's everybody knows everyone. Like, it's just real. So it turns out that she found out about it. She tells her mom. Her mom tells someone in the church. The lady at the church that she told just freaking told everyone, because that's what happens at these types of churches. She tells everyone. So on a Sunday afternoon, because I used to be a church girl to the max, and we're doing like this arts and crafts thing on a Saturday. And I get called into this back room. I walk into the room. There's my mom. There's the youth pastor. There's some usher or something. Someone who I, you know, called my auntie. There's like, and this other lady. So they sit me down and they ask me, did you have sex with this person? His name is Jamal. I don't care. So he's probably in jail, but, you know. Free Jamal. So they're like, are you sexually active and did you have sex with Jamal? So I'm like looking around and I'm like, they obviously know. And then somebody says, I forgot who it was, but they were like, you know, if you think you're going to lie about it, we're going to find out. And I'm just like, we can take you to the doctor and find out. So I was just like, So what if they do take me to the doctor? I'm like going through this in my head. So I'm like, yes, I did. So I'm honest about it. My mom is like devastated. She's crying. She's just like so hurt. Then she wants to know if it was forced. And I'm like, no, I wanted it. I was hot and ready. And she just like going on and on and on. And, you know, that was like pretty traumatic for me. It's like basically a moment where I was like, you know, quote unquote, made into a woman. Not really, but, you know, we like to think that. And it was like broadcast all over my church pretty much. So, you know, it was this whole thing where I think that was the first time I was like, well, this is the what the fucking truth got me. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm telling, you know, an intimate moment and I'm like, you know, telling somebody like, oh, this is what happened. And they're just like, I don't even know if I got in trouble. My mom was like more hurt than everything. So that's the part that maybe it came from like not wanting to hurt her or something. I don't know. But that was probably like the last time I like told the truth about something having to do with like me as like a sexual being. Not like the last time I told the truth, but you know, when it's something that like intimate and like you want to be honest, but then you're like, no, but then when you are honest, you see how it hurts someone. It was kind of like that. So I've told the truth before, like some people I don't give a shit, but I think that was like the start of like, okay, if you want to be seen in this light, then you can't tell the truth about certain things, or you can only tell the truth, you only tell partial truth, or you can only tell, you know, if somebody wants to know something about your sexual history or something about like the types of things that you've gone through sexually, like you can only tell, depending on who it is, you can't tell them everything, you can't be too open and honest. So whatever. So I think that's kind of where it started, where I was like, I would pick apart things that had to do with like intimate and sexual things. So anyway, fast forward to the next year, so I'm 13, and my mom's like, where the fuck is your period? So she asked me, but I don't think she wasn't accusing me of anything yet. She was just kind of like, where's your period? So I'm like, oh, you know, I should be starting. So, you know, I fake started. So when I say fake started, I mean, I literally took a pad and I wore it every day. Every day I rolled it up like it was used or not sanitary. And not sanitary, like not sanitized, like it was dirty. And then I rolled it up and I put it in the trash like every day for like 3 days. My mom to this day says that God told her to open it, which is kind of disgusting because like what if it was really blood in there? Like that's nasty. So she opens it up and obviously, of course, there's no blood on it. It's completely empty because I had gone through this whole thing pretending to be on my period. So one day she picks me up from school and usually like I was excited because usually when mom picks you up from school, when my mom picked me up from school, we're going to McDonald's. Like we're about to go somewhere and have some meal that's not at the house that she didn't cook. And like I was excited about it. But she picks me up and we go to the fucking clinic and I have to take a pregnancy test. So yeah, that was my first kind of like, I don't know what I would, like my ex was, she asked me like, what would you have done like if you were like, you know, obviously you were pregnant. So when you start showing, like how long were you going to do this period thing? I was like, girl, for 6-7 days, what you mean? Like, what do you mean? How long was I going to do it? For as long as I'm usually on my period. So, you know, I know what she meant though, but you know, it's one, I think that's like my most vivid memory of me lying, like me bullshitting, like me telling a whole elaborate lie. So, when I think about like, you know, these are like sexually, I guess, related, categorized lies that I just felt, apparently I just didn't feel, I didn't want to tell the truth because I didn't want to get in trouble and I didn't want my mom to be hurt, blah, blah, blah. So yeah. And no, I don't have any kids. So you know what happened with it. Don't act like you never had an abortion before. So anyway, that was that. And I just pretty much, when I was really asking those questions to myself, I'm like, yeah, like I think that was probably the most vivid one. So then I'm like, okay, well, you're a grown-ass woman now, so why are you still lying? So like I said before in the last episode, I've been through a lot of shit. I was sexually active at a very young age. I was very sexual. Like, don't know really where that stemmed from. Like, I'm still, that's something that I'm going through with my therapist. And, like, you know, we'll probably visit that a little bit later because we're still kind of, I'm in that process. Just kind of figuring out, like, is there actually, are people just born sexual as fuck? And, like, some want to be sexual at 12 and some, because I used to play house with the next door neighbor. And she used to be, like, into it. So I was like, okay, well, if we're both whatever age we were, probably like 7, 8, then it's not just me. But I think I was probably the only one who like grew up to still play house with women. But, you know, we were all the same age. Like if you think back to who you used to play house with, like some of, you know, I've heard a lot of stories from my friends. Like when I'm honest about it, you'd be surprised, like, how many would be like, oh, I used to do that with my brother. And I'd be like, oh, okay. I didn't have brothers growing up, but I'm sure that's not. Okay. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you kind of, it opens up all these doors and you're like, okay, is this normal? Is this not normal? Like, I don't think anyone's story is normal. I don't think anyone's story is necessarily the same. We all share the same, we all share similarities and we're kind of all figuring out our own shit on different times in different ways. So I, you know, that was one of the things that I had to revisit. And I'm like, damn, like, have I just always been, because of what I went through being honest, have I just always been ashamed of who I was? And I was always, you know, this girl constantly like hiding shit. So even if I was, you know, it was weird because she was probably one of the most, you know, she's one of the few people I could probably be completely transparent with. And for whatever reason, whatever insecurities that I still had, as open as I was and as honest as I was with her about my past, I still wasn't able to be honest with her about my present. So I'm currently, you know, still doing shit that I probably have no business doing, that I know I had no business doing, actually. And I'm still, you know, lying about it or I'm concealing it. So another part of my past, like I had a lot of shit. So being sexual when I was younger, I was introduced to the life of prostitution, probably the act of it, probably at, I'll say 16. Just the, not necessarily like actually, you know, working the street at 16, just more so like I kind of came into that like role. Like there's a person who has what I want and he can give me what I want and I'm willing to do A, B, C, and D to get it. So that kind of, I have no idea to this day where I thought, I don't know if I just watched Pretty Woman, you know, when I was young. I don't know when that movie came out, but by the time I was 15, 16, I remember there was this Apple phone, or not Apple phone, I'm tripping. It was a, I don't know if you guys remember the Baby Fat phone. So it was like the Baby Fat phone. It was Nextel, it had the chirp on it. It was pink. Kamora Lee Simmons had released it. It was only available like at Nordstrom's or online or something like that. And I wanted it. So I was like, I don't know if you guys remember AIM. Like, I feel like I'm like super old right now. But on AOL Instant Messenger, there was like a chat and you could like talk to people. It was pretty dangerous if you're a kid because you can kind of talk to anyone. Like, it was kind of pedophile central now that I think about it. And it was just, they made it super easy for like you to talk to people. So I was talking to this guy and he was kind of, you know, he was older, he was white. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I had to get that from Pretty Woman because no one tells you you can get whatever you want from older white guys. I don't know. But I just kind of, like, assumed that this man had money because he was older and he was white, and which is a stupid-ass assumption, but he had enough money to get me what I wanted. So I talked to him on the phone. He was, like, in Idaho or some faraway place like that. And I remember talking to him on the phone. He promised, like, I told him, like, oh, I really want this phone, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, you know, okay, like, yeah, I'll get it for you. Like, I don't even, like, send me the link or something. I remember I got it on eBay. And I told him this, it's on eBay. This is how you order it, blah, blah, blah. He orders it for me. And then he's like, he instantly like wants me to talk to him over the phone. And I was pretty sure that he was like getting off on the other end. But I was like, okay, like, we'll see what happens. But I ended up getting my phone. So that's all that mattered to me at that time. And that was like my first, like, I guess, is it prostitution if you're like on the phone? I don't know. But that's like my first encounter, like, this person has something I want. I want it. Money, phone, whatever it is. And then I'm about to do whatever to get it. So that was like my first time. So in my personal opinion, I don't know where this shit comes from. Like, I would assume maybe from, was it Pretty Woman? Maybe? I don't know. But that's pretty much it. So I have, so that's number two. I have a sexualized past. Like, I started when I was young. I was kind of like, hoe was life, as they would say now. I had that whole, you know, that's also, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a form of manipulation. Somebody, you know, has something that I want and I'll do whatever to get it. So, you know, I have that. And then it carried on into my adult life. Honestly, at like a later time, I feel like if I was going to do that shit, I should have did it like my early 20s, and it was kind of like I played with it for a while and hoe was life for a couple years. And then, you know, just being older, I think just like you meet these people and you feel like you can be honest with everyone this close to you, but you really can't. So throughout the years, I just kind of, I would open up to certain people and then they would throw certain things back in my face when they get upset, or when you're no longer friends, you'll hear those same things you told to those people about, you know, those intimate things. Like, if I told somebody, like, oh, yeah, you know, hoe is life, and, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not ashamed, I got a sugar daddy, da 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 da. And then they turn around and say, like, oh, well, you don't even work, you got a sugar, like, oh, bitch, shut up. Like, I told you that in confidence. But it's kind of one of those things that, you know, as life happens, your story kind of, it gets kind of buried, like your truths get kind of like blurry. So then you have like these half truths and you have these people that they love you for being you, but the moment you tell them a truth, it's like it's judgment. And we all say that we don't judge, or, you know, only God could judge me or whatever, but that's fucking bullshit. Like, if I see you, like, I don't act on those judgments. I might judge you, but I'm not gonna not be your friend because you have a traumatic past or whatever. But we all have opinions. We have an opinion on some level, which is a judgment on some level, with shit that we hear about people that we know. If you tell me that every time you go out, you get in a fight, like, bitch, I'm judging you. Not, like, I just can't fucking go out with you everywhere. But you're still my friend. You're just my ratchet friend. Like, whatever. Like, but it's cool. So I think that, like, we don't understand that when we, like, we shouldn't let other people's shit dictate how we tell our story. So I wouldn't suggest telling everybody everything from jump, but definitely what I have learned is to, if you feel like you're not comfortable enough with someone to tell them the truth, then you can just tell them in your time, and you can just choose to withhold certain things until you get to the point where you feel safe enough to be truthful. For those of you who don't care, like, I think this podcast is pretty much my opportunity to be like, fuck it. Like, even as I say certain things, I'm like, damn, like, I really just said that and that's about to be out there. But then it's like, it's so freeing when you actually are like, I don't give a fuck. Like, this is what it is. So, and then for every, like I said, we're more alike than we think. So sometimes when I say things, it's like, oh, okay. Like, this is, you know, this is my truth, but I can't relate to that part of her truth, but I can relate to, you know, I was, you know, knocking boots at 11. Like, I know that I started at, 12, 13. And I remember there was one girl who was my friend's stepsister. And she was, like, she was out here at, 9. And I was just like, damn, girl. Like, and you just never know. Like, some of yours, it might be a little more harsh. She might have, you know, it might not have been her choice. Like, for me, like, it was, I feel like it was my choice to have sex, but there was no, there, I felt like, unfortunately, I felt like I could have, I was very mature, so I could catch the eye of anyone any age, and they wouldn't have, unfortunately, I don't feel like there's too many dudes when I was that age that would have been like, you're too young. Like, no one told me no. So, yeah, like, some people don't have that luxury. Some people, it's forced from them and their innocence is taken. And then they take that innocence and then they decide just to, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to be ratchet because, you know, it was taken from me. So now, you know, I'm going to give it to everybody. So that's just, everyone's story is different, but there are some similarities. So for me, moving forward, I give when I date people now, like, I just, sometimes I'm like, I have diarrhea at the mouth, especially if I don't really like you like that. I like to test my truth. So, like, if I talk to you and I see that I'm not probably not going to, like, date you or you're cool, but I wouldn't be with you, like, I'll fucking tell you everything and see what you say and then be like, you know, okay, like, there's my truth. Like, are you staying or leaving? I really don't care. But now it's like, you know, if I, you know, I am currently, you know, dating, and, you know, it's very freeing, and it's a challenge too, because it kind of tells me, like, okay, so you can be in an open and honest relationship, you can be transparent with people. It just, you know, obviously it's not going to be for everyone, so you also have to, you still have to build trust with me. I'm not going to, like, just assume that, you know, I can trust you. And I'm not going to assume that I could tell you everything, but I will, the more that I trust you, the more that I'm going to tell you. So, I definitely, a lot of my friends are kind of going through their own journeys, and I know some of my friends, not all of them, but some of them, I know that they're not truthful. Like, they want trust. They want a guy or a girl that's going to love them, and they talk all this shit, but it's like, you tell me more than you tell your significant other. And I think that's one of the things, if in your 30s you're looking for love, you have to embrace your truth, embrace your past, and definitely, like, just put it all out there. Because ultimately, this is going to be somebody that I would assume that you want to marry. So that's one of the things I had to tell myself. Like, okay, well, what if the truth wouldn't have got out about me with my ex? Like, would I have let her marry me and propose to me and, you know, walk me down the, or she doesn't walk me, that's backwards as fuck. I probably would, I don't know. You know, walk down the aisle and let her put a ring on it and not even have told her the truth? Or would I let her find out later? So, like, when we're married, she's, like, stuck, and then she's just like, oh, you didn't ever tell me any of this shit. And then, you know, either we'd get divorced or annulment, because technically she didn't know who she was marrying and whatever. So it's just like, I know all these bitches who want to be married, and, like, you're not even honest with the people that you date. Like, you still lying about how many people you fucked, which is, you know, common, I guess. But, you know, like, we still haven't embraced who we really are, but, like, we're out here looking for someone and we don't know who the fuck we are. So who are we looking for? Because the person that you're looking for is for the first person that you're pretending to be. Like, me personally, I don't want, like, if I find myself in this process, then if I just found myself, then I'm looking for a person who doesn't even know who I am and won't know who I am, because I still haven't found myself yet. So when I do find myself, that's, like, more appropriate. It's easier. Like, you know what you like, you know what you don't like, you know what's going to be good for you, what's not going to be good for you. And you can honestly say, like, you know, I can honestly say that the person that you're going to be with is a person who is, you know, who's really dug deep and who's really done their research and has gone into depth about who they are. And at least, at the very least, when you meet someone and you think that they're going to be, you think they're the one, or you think they're special, or you think you could see yourself building a life with this person, I mean, shit, be honest about that shit. Be like, yeah, I don't know who the fuck I am yet. I know that I'm a good person, and deep down I'm amazing, but I still have some shit with me that I'm figuring out, and see what the fuck they say. So, yeah, that was the reason, the main reason behind, you know, obviously it was an unfortunate situation, but I think it was very necessary that it happened, and it was a crucial part of who I'm becoming. And if it wasn't for that situation in particular, I think, I'm not sure how I would have ended up really coming to terms with, like, the work that I, like, how much work I needed to do on myself. Because it was a lot of shit that I failed to realize and didn't even care to admit to myself, let alone a whole nother person. So she's the reason why that event sparked this whole transformation phase. So for me, that was it. And it's a journey. So there's a lot of stories, like I said, a lot of stories behind, you know, in these different phases of my life that I'm going to reveal, you know, as, you know, we go along this journey. And, yeah, some of them are really fucked up, and some of them are, you know, they're, like, hilarious. But, yeah, a lot of shit is, like, fucked up. A lot of people are fucked up, and they did fucked up shit to me, and some people are just, you know, they're just little characters in a whole storyline of shit leading up to this point. And I would love to share all of that with you guys, and I plan on it. So, I think, I'm not quite sure 100%. Like I said, this is one of the things that someone told me that they wanted to hear, was like basically what sparked, a couple of people said that they wanted to hear what sparked this whole, you know, dirty 30 thing and this road to cleanliness. And this was definitely the thing that, like, it was hard. It was a hard pill to swallow. So I think that's when the real transformation begins, is when you realize, like, you're not as, you know, awesome as you thought you were. And, you know, you could listen to the hype of your friends and, you know, your loved ones. But when it really comes down to it, when the, you know, when the doors are shut and you're behind those doors, like, who the fuck are you? Like, are you as amazing as people make you out to be? Or, you know, do you have some shit you need to work on? And I think that's where I'm at. I'm just working on my shit. And, like I said, being accountable for my actions and, you know, living with integrity and how people, not just how people see me, but just how I treat other people and how I can be, like, a reflection of, like, the good that I know that exists. So, yeah. So that concludes this episode. And I think I'm going to have some cheaters on the next episode. I know that I have my reasons why I think I was a cheater, or a liar, cheater, heartbreaker, and all that stuff. And I think I want to hear, like, other people's shit. Like, I want to know why other people cheat. And maybe there's some similarities, maybe there's some perspectives that I haven't had the opportunity to see. And I think that's where we're going with this, because I know a lot of you, maybe we'll get some, like, a guy with a beard, because they seem to be, like, the biggest cheaters. So maybe we'll get some bearded men in here. So that is all for today, and I will see you next Wednesday, or not see you, but, you know, You'll hear me next Wednesday. And that's it. This is the Dirty 30 Diary. I'm Dirty D, and I'm signing off. Is that, like, that's cheesy. Okay.